Would you lead us in a open prayer this morning?
Oh, Father, what a great morning that we're having, and we thank you for providing that for us. Our response, Lord, is that we open our hearts to you, because you are so good. You've melted our hearts. You've taken away so much rubbish from us. And another day comes and more is peeled off. And we thank you for the kindness and the power of your word coming forth shortly that will change our lives, creating us a new clean heart.
Yes.
Letting Jesus become more and more the reality in our lives. And we thank you for the Spirit of God who gives us the opportunity to change and the power to change. And so, Lord, cradle us in your arms. As together we hear your word, as we our response is, come, Lord, come. We open up to you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Please be seated.
Okay, this morning I want to speak on the subject, to be blessed. To be blessed. Now, what does it mean to be blessed? What do you think would be a blessing? What would it take to make you feel blessed? A new car? A new job? A new house? New clothes? Or maybe if everybody treats you well? People coming to you for advice? Maybe people greeting you on the main street with pleasure? People opening up a door for you before you enter into a shop? These are some of the things that a lot of people desire to have, and I think of themselves, they are not bad things. Sadly, we may not even say that the person who has them is a man who is blessed. We may say something like, that guy sure is lucky. And that's sad that our culture has gone that far from realizing that the blessings do come from the hand of God. But what does a blessing look like to God? And what is it that God calls blessed? Now, I want to define terms before we go any further. And I'm sorry, I've been in my Strong's Concordance this week and had a bit of a play. Now, I apologise up front because I am no Greek scholar and I don't even know how to say these words. So I'll say them how I think they might sound and you can deal with it as you like. I'm talking about the word makarios, meaning supremely blessed, by extension, fortunate, well off. It's translated blessed and happy. Now, there's another word that's translated blessed, bless, or blessing, and that is the other Greek word that we actually have in the English language as a transliteration, and that's eulogio. Or we're all familiar with the eulogy. When someone has died, we give a eulogy. Now, eulogia means fine speaking, elegance of language, or a religious benediction. Eulogio means to speak well of or to bless. So we would give a eulogy and we would speak well of someone. When you give a eulogy, you don't drag up all the guy's failings or what he didn't do very good at. You pick the high points in his life and you give a eulogy. Okay? We're not talking about that. We're not talking about speaking well of someone. We're talking about being supremely blessed. That Greek word makarios, okay? To be supremely blessed. Now, when we go to the Oxford Dictionary and we look up the word blessing, the first thing they say, it's the action of the verb. Now, all of you who are studying English would know what a verb is, and I guess it's not mint or parsley. But blessing is the action of the verb, okay? The second one is, it says an authoritative declaration of divine favour or benediction, and hence invocation of divine favour. The other three definitions are favor and prospering influence of God, anything that makes happy or prosperous, and five, grateful adoration. So in the list of things that I asked you, whether those things would make you blessed, we could say that that's anything that makes you happy. But today we want to look at an authoritative declaration of divine favor. So what does God say when you've got this thing, you are supremely blessed when you've got something? Okay? Now, we all come to Christ with our culture. We all come with our baggage. We all come with all those things that make us who we are. Okay? Now today, let's look at his word. And when God says, this person here is supremely blessed because he's got this thing, let's agree with him. Let's agree with him. Let's put that new car, that new shed, that new whatever out of our head, and let's look at what God says we'll be supremely blessed about. Now we have, so sit tight, we have 16. We have 16 authoritative declarations of what God says we are going to be blessed. Anyone like a cup of tea before we start? Okay, the first one, the first two, surpass all others. The first one, the first blessing, to know God. In Matthew 16, verse 15 to 18, Jesus said unto them, but whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed it unto you, but my Father which is in heaven. And upon this rock I would build my church. Knowing that Jesus is the Messiah, the Saviour of mankind, is to be blessed. In Matthew 13, verses 13 to 17, Jesus said, therefore I speak to them in parables, because they, seeing, see not, and hearing, they hear not, neither do they understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which says, by hearing ye shall hear and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see and shall not perceive. For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For verily I say unto you that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which ye see and have not seen them, and to hear those things which ye hear and have not heard them. If you have seen and heard Christ and truly comprehended it, you are blessed. John 20, verse 25. Thomas said, except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his sides, I will not believe. Jesus came along, and he appeared to Thomas. And he said to Thomas, stick your fingers here, thrust your hand in here. And then he went on and he said, Jesus said unto him, Thomas, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. If you have believed without physical evidence before you, you are blessed. Now, to know of God is to be blessed. That's blessing number one. To know that he is the creator and sustainer of the universe is a blessed truth. Knowing the truth makes you blessed. To know that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes on him should not perish but have everlasting life, is to be blessed. To know that God commends his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us, Romans 5:8, is to be blessed. Yea, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. I thought, Maybe Robin was going to steal my scripture
there. Yeah, no, I did.
Romans 10:15. Okay? If you have heard and know the story of redemption of mankind, you are truly blessed. However, there is another blessing. The second blessing is like unto the first blessing. It is to be forgiven. Matthew 13:15 gives us a four-step process. I just read from Matthew 13, where the eyes that see. And he says, to see with your eyes and to hear with your ears. That's step one. Secondly, and should understand with their heart. Thirdly, and should be converted. And fourthly, and I should heal them. And God's healing is forgiveness. Forgiveness for our sins, reconciling us to our Heavenly Father. I trust that everybody here today has the first blessing. The first step of having heard the good news of Jesus Christ and the forgiveness of sins. We have no Hottentots from the deepest, darkest Africa here. We have no Tibetan monks living in remote mountains from Tibet here. We have all heard the good news. Amen. But today, do we all understand with our heart? Which is step two? To know of Jesus Christ as the Messiah is one thing. That he is your personal Saviour is another. So, we all know that we have all sinned and come short of the glory of God, and that there is none righteous, no, not one. It's not rocket science, is it? When we lie in our bed at night and we look over our last 24 hours, or maybe the last week, there are people that we've spoken disrespectfully to. Maybe we've told lies. We've had a lustful thought, a hateful thought, an angry thought, a covetous thought. We have all, at some time in our childhood, disobeyed our parents. Maybe we even took something that didn't belong to us. It's not rocket science. We all come short of the glory of God. But we need to get this information out of our head and get it into our heart. When we have sorrow over our sin, when we meditate on our life and we are grieved, these are the workings of our heart. We have taken it from mere head knowledge, and now we have an understanding of the heart. And that's step two. You need step two. You need to take this intellectual Jesus Christ from here and your relationship to him, and he has to be in here. And he has to move you. And you have to feel him. And step three, and be converted. Here we go, there's another one. Epistrepho, meaning to turn around or to go the other way. So we have the first step, to hear with their ears and to see with their eyes. Step two was to understand with your heart, to grieve, to sorrow, to move to action. And step three is to turn around. Epistrepho. Matthew 18:3 says, except ye be converted, that's that word, and become as little children, you shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. It's important. Did we get that? Converted or shall not enter. That's your two options. You've got two. One or the other. We've got converted or shall not enter. It involves humility. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child. We need to come to God on our knees. That's humility. And all we bring is our great undoneness. All we bring is that sorrow, that grief. Lord, save me, as Peter cried out. He was sinking. Save me. It come, I am sure, from the depth of his being. And when we do that, we turn from the world. We turn from all its pomp, its pride, its position, its place, and we turn to God in humble acknowledgement of who we are. And Shane Warne is an excellent example of a man who, in the media, as Robin pointed out to us, is exactly that which we would not want to be. We need humility.
Yes.
And we need to humble ourselves before God. And then the promise is yours. Step four, and I should heal them. Then and only then is the second blessing yours. Blessed are they whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. Romans 4, 6 verse 8. I am sure that there are people here today who do not have this blessing. Today, while it is called today, take it. It's there for the taking. Involve your heart. Take that head knowledge and make it an issue of your heart. Confess your sins. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We must not go on in life having the world plus Christ. We don't add Christ to our worldly life and go, I'm good. I've got Christ as well. No. Christ, and I didn't come up with this saying, if he's not Lord of all, he's not Lord at all. So at the very foundational part, we come to Christ on our knees. We turn from all known sin and we follow him. Then the second blessing is ours. Christianity is not a mere intellectual assent to who God is. We all talk to lots of people and they use God. And we could say God with a little g. Because when we start asking them who their God is, it's not Jehovah God. It's not the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's this being that just kind of loves everyone and lets everyone into heaven. No redemption, no forgiveness of sins, no crucifixion of Jesus Christ and being saved by faith in his blood. No, it's the God of a little g. So, to be healed of our sins by the blood of Jesus Christ is the second blessing. The blessedness of the man unto whom God imputes righteousness without works. Saying, blessed are they whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. Okay, so that's the first two blessings. I know that you all have the first one. I trust and I hope that you all have the second. Now we have 12 more blessings. Well, maybe I've got my numbers wrong. We'll say 12. Of the Christian life. Matthew 5, as you know, is the Beatitudes. Now the first four Beatitudes are almost Beatitudes that get you into the kingdom. The following four are Beatitudes that he wants his children in the kingdom to have. So the first one, blessed, Matthew 5:3, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. You cannot enter the kingdom any other way. You cannot continue in the kingdom any other way than humility. There is a whole sermon on pride, and when I finished preaching the sermon on pride, however many months ago it was, I felt like I could have preached one the following weekend and used none of my scripture references that I'd just used. There are sermons and sermons and sermons on pride. But let's just read again my favourite scripture, I think, in all the Bible, in Philippians 2. Let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus, that he humbled himself. that he humbled himself. So blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Remember what I said about the step being understanding with your heart. Do you mourn over your sins? Are you grieved with your failures? Do you come to Christ daily asking for strength to overcome, to love your neighbor more, to love your children, to love your boss, to love your employees, to love the person in the corner store? Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. 2 Corinthians 7:10 says, "For godly sorrow works repentance to salvation, and not to be repented of, but the sorrow of the world worketh death." If you are grieved with a sorrow that no matter how genuine the sorrow is, ends with, "Oh well, no one is perfect," and then hoping everyone and God will forget, is the sorrow of the world. "Oh well, no one is perfect" is the sorrow of the world. Yes, no one is perfect, but it's not "oh well." We come to God, we get on our knees, and we humbly ask, and we mourn before him for forgiveness. True mourning, true godly sorrow works repentance. And that word repentance there is metanoia, meaning compunction, by implication, reversal. Now, remember, the word "converted" meant to turn around. Well, in that word, repentance is implied a turning around. It means to twist. It actually means to turn around, okay? So compunction is that pricking of your conscience. It's when you're feeling, "Oh, I shouldn't have done that," which implies you're going to turn from it, okay? True sorrow leads to repentance. Blessed, God said, blessed are they that mourn. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. That's the word praus, a primary word meaning mild. By implication, humble is translated meek. Jesus said of himself in Matthew 11:29, "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls." There is rest in this life for the meek, yes, the followers of Jesus who become as he is. Jesus said, "Blessed are the meek. They shall inherit the earth." Now, what does it mean, inherit? Excuse me. In 1 Peter 1, verses 3 and 4, Peter says that he has begotten us again to a living hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. There is an inheritance in the next life for those who have a living hope, a lively hope, by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. In Revelations 21, 1, John said, "And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away. The meek shall have their inheritance with the Lamb in the new heaven and the new earth."
Amen.
There is a movie, I never saw it, but I heard it quoted from so many times I could have watched it. My father-in-law loved to quote this movie. It had John Wayne and Katharine Hepburn in it. Katharine Hepburn apparently was a missionary, and John Wayne was a sheriff or something or another. And the missionary lady says to John Wayne, she says, "The meek shall inherit the earth." And John Wayne replies and says, "Only 6 foot of it, sister." Okay? And it's one of them one-liners that are just... And that's the carnal mind. The carnal mind says, "Oh, no, no, the meek will be downtrodden. The meek are going to get squished. I have to be strong. I have to be proud. I have to stand up for myself." But the meek shall inherit the earth. Where's your inheritance going to be? We have today, the nations are at war, Russia and Ukraine. We have civil war in Ethiopia, in Sudan, in Nigeria, in Myanmar. China wants Taiwan. Rebels are fighting for the political aims and gains in Belize at the moment. A lot of South American countries have gorillas hiding in the bushes. So do African countries and Asian countries for that matter as well. The kingdoms of this world, we all will inherit 6 foot of the kingdoms of this world. We all will. But what about your eternal inheritance?
Yes.
Have you sent treasure on ahead to the new earth and the new heaven? The meek shall inherit the earth. And I am here to say today that the meek will certainly have an inheritance in the new earth. Okay. Matthew 5, 6. Blessed are they that do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Is this blessing yours? Psalm 42, verses 1 and 2 says, as the deer panteth after the water brooks, so pants my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? Those who want God shall be blessed. Why? Because where God is blessed. Those who hunger and thirst after righteousness will be filled. And that's a blessing. If God dwelling in your heart is a blessing. Okay, so the first four blessings we see there, poor in spirit, mourning, meek, and hungering and thirst after righteousness. You can see yourself on your knees. Perhaps some of you, you can look back to the day when you got down on your knees for the first time. And you can see that. You can remember that. There's a picture of it there. And you know, I didn't want to say these are just in coming to Christ. Because we all know we need to keep on in them, in those blessings. We need those blessings in our life. We need those attributes in our life to continue in the Christian life. But the next four, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Jesus said, there is a blessing upon all people who are merciful.
Yeah.
Who here wants mercy?
Amen.
Yeah, yeah. Who wants their sins remembered on that great judgment day? No, I want mercy.
Yeah.
Okay. Jesus was humble and humbled himself. So should we. God in his great mercy has forgiven us. So we should forgive others. Matthew 6:14 says, for if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you will not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. This is a blessing we cannot afford to be without. Yes, we are forgiven when we come to God in repentance and conversion. We are healed, restored, and forgiven. But we need God's continuing grace and his continuing mercy, because as we walk, we get dirty feet. As we work, we get dirty hands. And we need God's mercy. Blessed are the merciful. Let us not be as the servant in Matthew 18 who was forgiven 10,000 talents of gold and went and throttled a fellow servant who owed him 100 pence. Okay? Let us not be that servant. Okay, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Are you pure in heart? Do you see God in every hill, in every rainbow, in every dewdrop? Or are you hardened and cynical? In everything, God is there, but only the pure in heart shall see him. Repent of your cynicism. Repent of your hardness. Hunger and thirst after God, and he will fill you. And you shall be filled with him, and you shall see him. And you will be blessed. Blessed are the pure in heart. At the same time, seek him with a pure heart, a whole heart. Let there be no hypocrisy, no double-mindedness, and you shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Along with humility, meekness, and mercy is peace-loving and peace-making. Our Lord Jesus fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah 42:3. He shall not strive nor cry, neither shall any man hear his voice in the streets. A bruised reed shall he not break, and a smoking flax he will not quench. Matthew 12:19-20. To be known as harmless and peacemakers is the calling of all those who follow God. We should not strive. We should not strive. Do not strive. Let's pursue peace with all men, and the blessing of being peacemakers shall be upon us. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sakes, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. Oh, now that's a bit hard. Fair go. Let's move on to another blessing, can we? Surely there's a better blessing than that for me. Blessed are the persecuted. Okay? God has a special place in his kingdom for all the saints and prophets who have received the rough end of the pineapple. There is a special place. In Revelation 6:9, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. In Revelation 17:6, and I saw the woman, the harlot, drunken with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. We have as a tradition, and I don't know if it's true or not, that all the disciples of Christ were martyred except John. We have the story of the early church where the blood of the martyrs ran out in the Colosseum, that they were burned at the stake on poles, to covered in pitch and burned at the stake to give Nero a good birthday party. We have the story of all the missionaries who have gone out into foreign lands and been eaten by cannibals and killed and murdered for spreading the gospel. The doctrine of martyrdom is a Christian doctrine. It's a teaching. And blessed are all those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake. It is the expected outcome for Christian. In John 16:33, it says, in the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. God gives his peace and his grace to endure in this life. An eternal life, a special place with all other like saints who have so like suffered. 1 Peter 3 verse 14. And this is where, remember where I said Makarios is translated blessed and happy. This is one of these places where it's translated happy. And it's the word blessed. But, and if you suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye, and be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled. And that reads, but if you suffer for righteousness' sake, blessed are you, and be not afraid. Okay? And that makes a little bit more sense to me, because I'm not happy when that happens, but I can see that I'm blessed. In 1 Peter 4, 12 to 14, beloved, think ye not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened to you, but rejoice, inasmuch as you are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, you may be glad with exceeding joy. If you be reproached for the name of Christ, happy, blessed are you, for the Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. Remember what I said? Where God is blessed. Mm-hmm. So if you are being persecuted for righteousness' sakes, then the Spirit of God makes you blessed. Okay, the next blessing is giving. In Acts 20, verse 35, Paul says, I have showed you all things, how that so laboring you ought to support the weak, and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. In 2 Corinthians 9:7, Paul said, for God loves a cheerful giver.
Yes.
In Luke 14, verses 12 to 14, Jesus was telling the story about when you throw a feast. And he says that when you... I'll read it to you. Luke 14, 12 to 14. When you make a dinner or a supper, call not your friends nor your brethren, neither your kinsmen, nor your rich neighbours, lest they also bid you again, and a recompense be made to you. But when you make a feast, call the poor, the maimed, the lame, and the blind, and thou shalt be blessed. For they cannot recompense you, for you shall be recompensed at the resurrection of the just. Again, did not our Lord Jesus give himself for us? What could we possibly give in return? Nothing. And as far as mammon and money, isn't that less than nothing compared to our Lord Jesus Christ? And so God pronounces a blessing upon giving. Enduring. James 1:12. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation. Blessed is the man that endures temptation? That's blessing, being tempted? For when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord promised to them that love him. Again in James 5:11, behold, we count them happy, blessed, which endure. You have heard of the patience of Job and have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy. The reward of endurance is blessing. Watching. This is another one. Blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when he cometh, shall find watching. There is a blessing pronounced on watching, on being alert, on being ready for the return of your Lord Jesus Christ. Verily I say unto you that he shall gird himself and make them sit down to meat and will come forth and serve them. And if he shall come in the second watch or come in the third watch and find them so, blessed are those servants. They're blessed. Are you watching for the Lord? Then that blessing is yours. Revelation 16:15. Behold, I come as a thief, said the Lord Jesus. Blessed is he that watcheth and keepeth his garments. The blessing upon watching and waiting is like the blessing of enduring. The Lord himself is the end of your watching and waiting. Where the Lord is blessed. Okay, obedience is our next blessing. Revelations 1:3. Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. Revelations 22:7. Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book. Revelations 22:14. Blessed are they that do his commandments. James 1:25. But whoso looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues therein, he being not a forgetful hearer but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. And Jesus said in Luke 12:43, blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing the master's will. And the last scripture, 11:28, Jesus said, blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it. There is a blessing to obedience. What the Bible says, and you gird up the courage and the loins of your mind and you do it, there is a blessing for you, and you will be blessed. Last 2 points. A lack of offense is blessed. Acts 24:16. Paul said, and herein do I exercise myself to have always a conscience void of offense toward God and toward men. Matthew 11:6, Jesus said, blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. Are you offended with Jesus Christ? Are you offended how things turn out sometimes? Are you thinking it could have been a little bit better, you didn't have to organize it like that? The context was the servants of John the Baptist came and asked Jesus and said, you know, are you the Christ or are we going to wait for another one? You know, I'm locked up in prison. Go and ask this Jesus, the guy, just straight, whether he's the Messiah or not. And Jesus said, well, the blind are healed, the lame can walk, and all these different things. They have the gospel preached to them. And blessed is he whosoever is not offended in me. And sometimes there are hard things that Jesus brings into our life. We've all walked through hard things. Blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. It has the same blessing that endurance has
You kept on. You didn't get offended. Well done. And the last blessing, and this is a sort of, I put it in here, it's sort of not something that we can do, but it's just a blessing for us. And I guess you know what it is. Revelation 14:13 says, "And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, Write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labours and their works do follow them." And Revelation 19:9, "And he said unto me, Write, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb." And that's heaven. Heaven is a blessing. Blessed are all the people who get to go there. Blessed are all those people who die in the Lord, that they may rest from their works, that they may go to the new heaven and the new earth. So, in conclusion, we have an authoritative declaration of divine favor, or an invocation of divine favor on. We have 16 things listed. I thought it was 16. One, those who know God, to have the Bible and to know the truth, they are blessed. The Bible says they are blessed. To those who are forgiven, who are healed and made righteous by the blood of Jesus Christ our Lord, they are blessed. There is an authoritative declaration of divine favor upon the poor in spirit, those who mourn, those who are meek, and those who hunger and thirst after righteousness. If you are humble, if you are meek, if you mourn, if you desire and thirst after God, there is a blessing upon you, my brethren. If you are merciful, if you have a pure heart in seeking God, if you are a peacemaker, if you are persecuted, if you are generous and giving, if you are enduring, if you are watchful, if you are obedient, if you haven't been offended, and of course, there is heaven. So, in conclusion, what does it mean to be blessed? I asked these three questions at the start. What does it mean to be blessed? What do you think would be a blessing? What would it take to make you feel blessed? All of the people that we just ran through that are listed there were blessed. Why were they blessed? Because God is with them. And where God is blessed. Anywhere with God is a blessing. Anywhere without God is a barren wilderness. Psalm 16, verse 11 says, "In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore." I pray for every single one of us here that we would experience all of those blessings there. Some of them may not look like so much of a blessing to us, but we don't see clearly. We don't see as God sees, and he has, with his authoritative direction, pronounced all those things blessed. So be encouraged. If you are in any of those situations and are feeling heavy-hearted or weighed down in thinking that any of those things are not blessings, they are. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for Jesus is with you. Let us stand and pray. Hallelujah, Father. Glorious God, we praise your holy name. Lord Jesus, thank you for your healing. Thank you for the blood that flowed down on Calvary. Thank you, Lord, that you have redeemed us from our sins, Lord, and brought us back to God. Lord Jesus, as we look to your word this morning, Lord Jesus, some of those are hard words. And I pray for grace and courage to overcome my carnality that looks at them and faints at them. And I pray for your grace to overcome. Father, I pray for us all that in those areas where we are weak or afraid, that you would give us courage,
yes,
and that you would give us boldness by the power of your Holy Spirit. I pray, Lord, that we may claim those blessings in Jesus' name. Lord, you are the blessing, Lord Jesus. And so where you are is fullness of joy. We praise you. We thank you for being our Savior, Father. And I pray, Lord, that you would strengthen us for this coming week, and you will go before us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Please be seated. You are dismissed.